In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
This is The World View. I'm Adam McManus. The conservatives rallied their presidential candidates at the Conservative Political Action Conference in National Harbor, Maryland over the weekend. Oddly enough, former Florida Governor Jeb Bush argued for Common Core and driver's licenses for illegal aliens. No wonder he got booed. One contender for the nation's top office, Ted Cruz, addressed the subject of same-sex marriage, despite the fact that a Pew Research study last year found 61% of Republicans under 30 sadly support homosexual unions. Rand Paul took the CPAC straw poll vote this year for the third year in a row. Second and third place in the poll fell to Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker and Senator Ted Cruz, respectively. Some trust in horses and some trust in chariots. Some Democrats, some Republicans, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. The Indiana state government is considering a bill allowing the use of baby boxes at hospitals and police stations in order to prevent abandonment. The bill passed the House without dissent last week. Over the last decade, about 1,000 abandoned babies in this country have turned up dead. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. A new film called The Dropbox will play in theaters as a special engagement this week on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. The documentary tells the story of an heroic South Korean pastor who saved scores of special needs babies from certain death on the streets of Seoul. Director Brian Ivey's life was powerfully changed when he met this amazing pastor with a heart of gold.
So I would say the heart of it is really what the Dropbox symbolizes. To me, it's where we all belong. It's the place we find ourselves when we say, I need to be saved, bound up in the dark, pulled out through the laundry room by a father into the light.
The film took Best of Festival at the San Antonio Christian Film Festival in 2013. Check out the trailer and learn more at the website thedropboxfilm.com. The South Korea secular state has now legalized adultery. Last week, the Constitutional Court struck down the adultery law that had been in place for 62 years. This country has been devastated by the lowest birth rate in the world. And their divorce rate has increased 18-fold in just 30 years, according to the Korean Herald. And there are more 20-something women working now in the marketplace than men. But now God commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. Some people are asking how the FCC power grab over the Internet even happened. Reports have surfaced identifying the billionaire George Soros as a major supporter of net neutrality. Soros is a financial backer for liberal groups like People for the American Way and Right Wing Watch, Huffington Post, Planned Parenthood, and Acorn. The Media Research Center reports that George Soros and the Ford Foundation have donated $196 million to groups supporting Obama's net neutrality agenda. The MRC reports that these left-wing groups not only impacted the public debate and funded top liberal think tanks from the Center for American Progress to Free Press, they also have direct ties to the White House and regulatory agencies. At least five individuals from these groups have ascended to key positions at the White House and the FCC. Missouri's Republican frontrunner for the 2016 gubernatorial election died late last week in what is now being called an apparent suicide. Eight people are dead after a shooting spree in rural southern Missouri over the weekend. Ye have heard that it was said of them of old, Thou shalt not kill, and whoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. It was a one-week blockbuster. 50 Shades of Grey saw a 73% drop in box office receipts in a single week, indicating a mass disappointment for viewers nationwide. It was the biggest drop in history for a 3,500 theater release. They shall soon wither as the green herb. The pornographic film soundtrack included a song, oddly, from contemporary Christian music artist Paul Janeway. Permission was granted on the grounds that the song would not be used for a sexual scene. Focus on the Family issued a plugged-in movie review for the film. There is a point at which, quote, it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret, unquote. David and Jason Benham lost their reality program on HGTV because of their faith. They're no strangers to persecution, and now they say the handwriting is on the wall. Liberties enjoyed for centuries in this nation may be gone in a few short decades. David Benham challenges young people to prepare to give it all up for Christ.
The message that the young people in the church need to hear right now is this faith is worth living, whatever the cost. We get into the Word of God, we study it, we know it, we apply its principles to our lives. And when we're done, when our lives are over, we're going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant.
The Benham brothers have just released their new book, Whatever the Cost. Leonard Nimoy, the actor who played Spock in the Star Trek series, is dead at 83. There is no remembrance of the wise man more than of the fool forever, seeing that all shall be forgotten, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. A couple from Spring Valley, New York, has celebrated their 82nd wedding anniversary. Durinard Velard is 108, and his wife Jean turns 105 in May. Asked by the Journal News his secret for long life, Durinard replied, "That's God." And that's The Worldview. I'm Adam McManus.
Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson, coming to you from my basement out here in Eastern Plains of Colorado. Homeschool father of five, Bill Jack, also in studio.
Hey, this is a studio.
It's new and improved.
It's a real studio.
It's new and improved. We got carpet on the walls, carpet on the floor.
Yeah.
We finally updated after, five, 6 years of broadcasting from this facility.
There's so much carpet around here. You made me a suit out of the carpet.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
This is sounding good.
We are not on the 15th floor of the EIB network. Anymore,
no.
But we're still in the basement of the Swanson home on the plains of Elbert County, Colorado. But
it's not a bunker.
It's not a bunker.
Well, it's a safe.
Yeah. Okay.
But all right. I'm going to have to start talking like this.
Yeah, you're going to start sounding a little more professional.
Now I have a radio voice.
Yes, you do.
Yes,
you do. Well, just a couple
Welcome.
Of homeschooling dads who get a kick out of a biblical worldview and find that we are in the midst of a war of the worldviews, and we are on the very front lines as we address the issues that are most relevant, at least as defined by the media and by the wider culture out there. It's important that we engage ideas and bring down imaginations that exalt themselves above the knowledge of God in Christ. And we want to do that on this program.
We are on a search and destroy mission.
Yes, we are.
We're not destroying people like ISIS.
We're
destroying ideas.
Which is far, far more devastating to the enemy.
Yes.
The enemy does not appreciate the engaging of ideas. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. And ultimately, the power of the Word of God, friends, is overwhelming. Overwhelming to the enemy. And so anytime we can get the Word of God out and integrate it into the issues of the day, we do that. And, Bill, I showed you a little bit on the worldview in 5 minutes that prefaces the program
Yes. As
of this week. What do you think?
I am impressed. I think that is just it's a brilliant way of getting people to think and incorporate worldview into every aspect of culture.
Yeah.
Because Francis Schaeffer said we see the world in bits and pieces,
mm-hmm.
and Christians are very, very good at doing that. We compartmentalize our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you're doing is you're weaving
mm-hmm.
back into the fabric of our thinking God's word in every aspect of culture.
What we don't want, Bill, is that dad who gets in the car in the morning after his devotional time and he turns on the secular news station and immerses himself in secularism, pure materialism, anti-supernaturalism, which is what you get in 99.9% of the newscasts out there. And we don't want that. We want him to drag his devotion time, the word, the reality of God, who ought to be just preeminent in our minds and around us all the time, integrated into all of the international events. Jesus Christ is preeminent in all things. We want him that way, even in the newscast.
Right. And so that the Word of God penetrates our thinking like the finest penetrating oil.
There you go.
Into the machinery of our day.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Okay. Well, let's do that with a life science article. And I'd like to bring this in because, Bill, you have been involved in Creation Ministries for, it's been like 90 years.
Yeah, well, almost.
As long as I can remember.
I'm only 89 and a half.
You had hair.
Well.
You had hair.
Yes, I still have hair.
You were working in the creation ministry business.
My hair just grows out my ears now.
Okay. All right. So, you know, shocker, live science. I don't even know if these guys are embarrassed to headline their article this way. The Big Bang deflated. Universe may have had no beginning.
Big Bang, big dud.
Big dud. That's the way it should have been. Mm-hmm. Big Bang, big dud. And it goes on, says, way too much evidence against the Big Bang. If a new theory turns out to be true, the universe may not have started with a bang. In the new formulation, the universe was never a singularity or infinitely small, definitely dense point of matter. In fact, the universe may have no beginning. They quote the University of Lethbridge in Alberta. The new concept could also explain what dark matter, the mysterious invisible substance that makes up the most of the universe, is actually made of. Okay, so they go on and on. Bill, are they taking themselves seriously? Haven't we been told for the last 40 years the explanation for the entire cosmological system they believe in, the ontological system, as to the theory of being, et cetera, et cetera? It's all been rooted and grounded on the Big Bang. We have hinged all of our cosmology, all of our university classes, 99.99% of what's presented in American Natural History Museums. We have presented everything on the basis of the Big Bang for 40 to 50 years now, and they're saying, oh, well, actually, we just wanted to let you know that your entire system of knowledge in the area of physics and cosmology is non-existent. Well, I think we're wrong. We have a new theory. We think the new theory may be the right one. Is anybody embarrassed
to
admit this? That, you know what? We have not really had a foundation for the last 40, 50 years. We pretended like we did. But it turns out we didn't. So April Fools.
But that's exactly the beauty of their position.
What do you mean?
You got to understand.
What do you mean by that?
This is how they tout that their position on evolution trumps everything else. Because here's the argument.
Okay.
You Christians, you rely on a book that cannot change.
Mm-hmm.
It never changes.
Mm-hmm.
You are stuck.
Mm-hmm.
We scientists, we are constantly revising our theories. We are constantly changing our theories.
We're changing our fundamental theories. We're changing our fundamental theories.
We're trustworthy. Yes.
That doesn't comport with me. Okay, we're changing the story all the time. And every 40 years or 50 years or 100 years, we're going to change the entire basis of everything we've ever said for the last 100 years. Therefore, we're trustworthy. I just don't get that. That doesn't comport with a rational mind.
Well, it comports with their theory of evolution, which says that change is the only unchangeable constant.
Because
we're constantly evolving, our theories are constantly evolving, therefore, we are trustworthy. You should listen to us, because otherwise you're stuck. You are stuck with something that cannot change. And so now they have gone back to an old theory, which is not new.
Mm-hmm.
And it's based on the ancient Greek word meaning conflagration or conversion into fire. And it is the idea that the universe did not start in a singularity. Now, this work comes out of Neil Turok and Paul Steinhardt.
It started in chaos.
Well, that's
wild guess.
That is the Greek theory,
right?
Isn't it?
So it started
out of
with chaos
arises
more
order.
Chaos.
Out of chaos arose order. That's the Greek theory.
Yeah.
Right? So evolution isn't new. It goes all the way back to the
Greeks.
You know,
there was a word that philosophers have used for this theory of knowledge. It's called irrationalism.
Mm.
Irrationalism.
You know what? No.
Insanity?
No. It's called fairy tale.
Or fairy tale.
Here's how the fairy tale reads, right?
Mm-hmm.
You start with a frog, gets kissed by a princess,
mm-hmm.
right? Turns him into a prince,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Prince Charming.
And what's the mechanism
now,
there? I'm still working on the mechanism.
Well, here's...
So what's
here's,
the mechanism? It's not supernatural. We know that.
No.
Because we've rejected any possibility of supernaturalism.
But that's... So fairy
again,
tales have magic.
But that's supernatural.
Here's the model of evolution.
Okay, what's the difference?
The model of evolution says you take the same frog, add 3 billion years,
uh-huh.
and you end up with Prince Charles of England.
Uh-huh.
He is kind of a toad. But,
uh-huh. okay,
they call that science.
Now, wait a minute. What's the mechanism?
The mechanism.
Is it any different from the princess of kisses?
Don't pay attention to this hand over
okay,
here.
Okay, I'm not.
Okay,
I'm trying
because
not
it's
to.
This hand over here that's picking your pocket.
Okay.
It's this hand over here that's picking your brain.
Okay.
Okay? And we're going to steal your brain because don't ask this questions like that. We're talking big picture here, Kevin. Come on.
Okay.
And so it goes back. This idea, it's called ekpyrotic, okay, scenario.
Meaning from out of the fire.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. It's the collusion of two brains, B-R-A-N-E-S. I don't know what that means.
Or lack thereof.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me move to something else here, Bill. This is another story we picked up on Worldview in 5 Minutes, I think it was last Friday, where the scientists from Chinese Peking University and the University of Arizona, they have identified a black hole that's 12 billion times larger than our sun. So you got to imagine these humongous black holes. It's probably the biggest mass in the universe. It's huge. Not going to find a star, not going to find anything like this in the universe. 12 billion times the size of our sun.
No. I've seen your office.
Yeah, okay.
It's kind of a black hole.
It's more mass than that.
Oh, okay.
By a long shot.
Doubled?
Well, as it turns out, scientists, and again, this is not my word, this is theirs, okay? Scientists are stumped. That's another word? Scientists are stumped. And here's why they're stumped. Because they can't understand how something, the light took 12.9 billion years to arrive. They've calculated that, so that leaves them a billion years, just a billion years. So they say they can't understand how the largest mass in the universe, the largest black hole in the universe, 12 billion times the size of our sun, could collect that much mass in a mere billion years. They're stumped.
Okay, so here's what's going to happen. They're going to have to add more time.
Well, they can't. Because the Big Bang goes back 13.9 billion years.
Wait.
And they've got that proven.
Kevin.
All except
Kevin.
For the fact that this other article from Life Science tells us the Big Bang was a total. Apparently, the guys from Peking University forgot to read the article from
right.
Science.
The left hand's not talking to the right hand. Yeah.
They don't realize, Big Bang, that's passé.
Yeah.
We really don't have much of a theory right now. We're going to go on no theory for a while. Hey, I got a theory, guys. I got a theory. I've got an explanation. And God made the stars also to rule over the night. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. All things were made by Jesus Christ, and without him was not anything made that was made. That pretty much leaves everything else out of the picture. Jesus Christ made everything. Without him was not anything made that was made. Take that to the bank with you. That's John 1. We've got a theory.
You know what's amazing theory. About what you just read?
Yeah.
It's a little word called also. Yeah. It's almost an aside. After he finished creating
and
all of this.
And oh, yeah.
Oh, and he made the stars.
Oh, yeah.
Stars
yeah.
Also.
Almost forgot.
Yeah.
Almost forgot.
Also, he made the stars.
Yeah.
So everything else. And then he decided to do this. And we are in awe of the stars. Mm-hmm. And we cannot be in awe of the hinge in our little finger. We are not in awe of how man was marvelously knit together in the womb of his mother.
Because we've been immersed in this worldview where everything comes about by mere chance, out of total chaos. And
so,
who cares? And there's no sense of wonder left.
Yeah.
Hey, the naturalists, the materialists, they suck wonder out of all of us.
Yeah.
That's the world we live in. There's no wonder left, no praise, no worship. Why? There's nothing impressive about a total chance universe, period.
And that's why G.K. Chesterton says that the universe is made small, okay? Because we're taking the wonder, as he put it, the magic out of creation. And so what they've done now is they've gone back to the old idea of this cyclical universe, that this universe ebbs and flows, that there's no beginning, that it's always been, that it's been eternal. That matter is eternal. That's the new theory. When they dump the Big Bang, matter is eternal, and therefore man is merely matter in motion. That's why they say we are the stuff of the stars. We are made of the same stuff. And that's not what Scripture teaches.
Yep. Creator creature distinction. Be back in just a moment, friends. We're going to talk about Richard Dawkins. What does he say about how we educate our kids and must educate them in
a predetermined religious perspective.
He didn't say that.
But that's what he's talking about. Be back in just a minute.
I like what Dawkins says.
We agree with him.
Yeah.
But we also disagree. Be back in just a moment.
The mark of a good father, according to Jesus in Matthew 7:11, is that he knows how to give good gifts to his children. He would not give his child a stone or a serpent. He would give him that which is nutritious and helpful. Now, Christian parents, if you're like me, you are constantly on the search for good gifts for your children. You're probably tired of cheap China junk and expensive toys that break within a month or two. That's why the Generation staff has spent the last 6 months scouring magazines, checking out samples, interviewing Christian parents, and identifying the very best books for our children. We look for creative presentations, substantive messages, biblical integrity, identifiable characters, and riveting stories. We have sponsored a child picture book contest called Nurturing Little Hearts, and we begin to publish the very best of children's books over the next year or two. But find good gift for your children. That's a really good thing. We have an entire new section of children's book selections at our website for good gifts that you can get for your kids. Find it at generationswithvision.com. That's generationswithvision.com.
Back on the Generations radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you. Good to have you tune in with us today. Bill Jack also here in studio. As we talk about what is being taught in public schools, and it's interesting that evolutionists and those that believe in the Big Bang and have taught the Big Bang as a religious theory upon which they've based their entire cosmology and their ontological system believe that this ought to be taught and upheld in the public school. I'm going to refer to Richard Dawkins and physicist Lawrence Krauss, who, by the way, is a world-famous physicist, best-selling author, and apparently he teaches at Arizona State University. And here's the quote. Parents have limited rights in determining what curriculum their children should study. The state is the organization that provides equal opportunity for each child.
And the state's providing the education, he says.
Yeah. Oh,
this is Lawrence Krauss.
And absolutely must receive that one monolithic, naturalistic, materialistic, and preferably socialistic worldview in public school classrooms. You know, it's interesting, Bill, that you didn't have that socialist mentality until the 20th century.
Right.
You didn't have it. You didn't have it until John Dewey. And John Dewey rooted in the ideas of Charles Darwin and believed that Charles Darwin released us from 2,000 years of the fixed and the final, and believed that the public schools was the means by which the masses would be educated in that worldview.
He's the father of modern American education.
Yeah.
And here's what Krauss says. He says, parents, of course, have concerns and a say, but they don't have the right to shield their children from knowledge. That's not a right any more than they have the right to shield their children from health care or medicine. Mm-hmm. And those parents that do that are often tried and imprisoned when they refuse to allow their children to get blood transfusions or whatever is necessary for their health. And this is necessary for their mental health.
That's right.
So end
state,
quote.
The state provided curriculum that narrows in on the Big Bang
theory
as the only possible theory by which the world was created, within the framework of a purely naturalistic, of course, anti-supernaturalistic worldview, that has got to be foisted on every parent, every child in America, or we will imprison those parents.
Because it's like vaccinations, like measles vaccinations, because they're going to catch the measles of God.
He's saying if they don't get this Big Bang theory, which, by the way, has been disproven, and scientists themselves don't believe it anymore,
and
but if they
aside,
don't get that, if they don't get a purely materialistic, naturalistic worldview, then your children will be mentally unstable. Now, we're going to challenge that. We're going to say that actually, it's the public schools that have become the insane asylum, the mental institute, in which these kids are told that a sheerly materialistic, naturalistic worldview is the only possible worldview despite all of the contradictions within the system.
And I agree with Dawkins that children need to be protected.
Yeah.
Children need to be protected from religious parents who are foisting their religion on their kids. Like, for example, okay. I think that we should protect the children of cannibal parents.
Yeah. Or parents that believe in child sacrifice. Yeah. As many of the Aztecs did.
Yes.
Because I don't believe that kind of religion is healthy. Moreover, here's another one. I think that children should be protected from religious parents who are very, very fundamentalistic about their me-centered humanist narcissism, existentialism, such that they would kill their kids in the womb.
I think we should protect the children, the unborn, from their mothers who want to destroy
them. Sure, because they're so epistemologically self-conscious about their self-centeredness.
Right.
Their man-centered, self-centered humanism. They're so committed to killing that child in the womb. Those children need to be protected from their mothers.
Yes.
In cases like that.
Because of the parents' religion.
Right.
The religion of secularism.
Because it's a fundamentalist form of religious secularism. Yeah. And perhaps children should be protected from public schools.
Yes.
You know, in some cases, public schools that believe in child sacrifice.
And public schools that teach the myth, the pseudoscience of evolution. Because evolution is not science. It's a pseudoscience. It is like phrenology, the belief that you could determine someone's character by reading the bumps on his head. That permeated the culture back in the 1800s, and it was shown to be a pseudoscience. Evolution is a pseudoscience, and Christians need to be talking in that language.
Here's Richard Dawkins, Time Magazine, just this last week. Quote, Richard Dawkins, this is a quote. Indoctrinating your opinions into the vulnerable minds of your children is bad enough. And Rich, what is the big bang? What is the big bang? What would that be? Would you classify that under the category of opinions, Rich? I just read an article here that the big bang is, I've read a couple articles, the big bang is increasingly debunked by, it's kind of a big dud, according to Life Science and some of the evolutionary journals out there. So, Rich, you know, I'm going to read this again. Indoctrinating your opinions into the vulnerable minds of your children is bad enough. Rich, which opinions, Rich?
Yeah, come on, Dickie, tell us.
Yeah.
Tell us, Dickie, which opinions is it? Oh, everybody's except
yours. Okay. Why don't we be honest here for a second? Here's another line. Divorce courts may be asked to decide whether a child of a broken marriage should be, quote, raised Catholic or raised Protestant. Nobody ever asked a divorce court to rule on whether a child should be raised soccer or raised rugby, raised orthodontist, or raised stamp collector, raised liberal, raised conservative. Okay, now here, Rich, I got another question for you. Should you raise a child such that he believes he exists? Okay. Oh, that's a belief. That's a belief. That has a certain perspective in terms of your metaphysic. And here's another one, Rich. Should you raise a child with a belief that he shouldn't murder his whole kindergarten classroom? Come on, don't be narrow. Let's not talk opinions here, Rich. Okay? We don't want to talk opinions for a second. You know what? The fact that he puts these basic metaphysical and ethical issues on the same level as stamp collecting. Hello? This is called insanity. Another time, this would be called insanity. Magazine takes this guy seriously?
Yes.
You've got to be kidding me.
Yeah. And Lawrence Krauss chooses to sit on the same platform with him and spout the same ridiculous pap stuff. It's just ridiculous.
Well, they're religious men.
They are.
They believe
in secularism.
They do.
And they are using their platform as a pulpit to persuade people.
But theirs are not opinions.
No, theirs is the true religion.
Because they've got a PhD.
Yeah.
And everybody knows that Big Bang theory is a fact until tomorrow's article from Life Science magazine comes out.
We are constantly revising our theory. That's why we can be trusted, they say.
Okay.
Children need to be protected. They do need to be protected from pseudoscience. They do need to be protected from lies. They do need to be protected from men like Richard Dawkins who seek to destroy their souls.
Bill, I think the entire Western world has become a mental institute. I'm convinced of this. Did you hear about the woman in Houston who married herself?
Oh, really?
Yeah. She married herself?
Yeah, okay. Wait.
She,
okay.
And she did it at a Houston public facility that was open to all sexual orientations. I'm not exactly sure which sexual orientation it is
Do you, Judy, herself. Take promise to love, obey, and cherish Judy?
Yeah.
Judy.
Yep,
Judy,
that's pretty much the way it went.
So it's ultimate narcissism.
She had a woman pastor that officiated. She has
Well, why would she need that? She could just marry herself.
Well, she had the whole deal. She married herself. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in a mental institute. The entire Western world is a mental institute. That's right. And this whole neurotic agenda, same-sex marriage, that's spread across. We live with insanity. We have institutionalized insanity.
Is that not what sin is?
We have insanity taught in our science classrooms. We have insanity in our churches. We have insanity. If Martin Luther, if Alexander the Great showed up in the 21st century, he would say, this entire globe has become a mental institute. He'd be convinced that he is in the midst of insane people, and with very few exceptions. All right, we'd love to be exceptions, but you know what?
Everybody's crazy except me and me.
God gave them up to a depraved mind. Romans 1, and that's the Apostle Paul, defining what happens when a world turns over to homosexuality. God gave them up to insanity, to a depraved mind.
That is the last thing he gives them over to, is a depraved mind. They cannot think reasonably or logically, let alone think biblically.
Until there's a renewal of the mind, a regeneration, repentance, metanoia, a change of mind, a radical change of direction, by way of the truth of God's word, as taught from Scripture, against the antithesis, the falsehoods, the deceits of the day. Until the word of God penetrates and people understand who they are. Rebels, insane rebels, frothing rebels against the creator of the universe, given up to utter insanity until they understand that and come to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, there will be no hope. But there is hope.
There
in
is.
Jesus Christ. And we want to leave you on that note. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, who came as the Word. He came as the speech, as the truth, as the way, as the sacrifice that would reconcile us to God and make us friends of God, such that we would no longer be insane rebels against Him. That reference is the gospel. Check it out within the Word of God. This is Kevin Swanson and Bill Jack in studio, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for it. Thank you.